Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. Today my guest is Christine Day, who empowers people around the world to create lives free of fear, stress and pain. In February this year, she released her groundbreaking new book, Pleiadian Initiations of Light, a guide to energetically awaken you to the Pleiadian prophecies for healing and resurrection. Now, Christine was born in Australia. She tells us that she had a traumatic childhood involving cult ritual abuse. Later, she had a spiritual awakening with the Pleiadians, and from the energy of this awakening was able to move into a place of self-healing, and she has been symptom-free for the last 25 years. Christine is a spiritual teacher and channel, and she has been working with the Pleiadian initiations with people for the last 20 years, working throughout the United States and internationally for the last 15 years. Welcome to the program, Christine.
Thanks, Mike. It's really great to be on your show.
Right. Now, it's probably a good place here to start to tell us a little bit about your background. I don't mean necessarily the trauma of your childhood, but start with perhaps the spiritual awakening that you had with the Pleiadians. Tell us how that came about.
Well, it was a very, very intense time because of my background, I wasn't connected to any sort of spiritual teaching or any healing modalities. I was very much in one big black hole, and I found myself given 8 weeks to live. I was in the hospital with advanced systemic lupus, and I really didn't have any sort of connection at all. I was really in a very depressed state, and when the doctors told me I only had a short time to live, my first feeling was, or understanding was, that actually I wanted to die. And it was kind of a relief, actually. But in the next few moments, I got some inspired thoughts given to me that I actually had created something to kill myself. And that actually brought some excitement to me because I really didn't believe I had the power to do anything at all. I didn't really believe in myself. And then the next inspired thought was, if I could create something to kill myself, I could create my own healing. And it was in that moment that I was given that I was still holding all the intense trauma from my childhood. And it was the deep feelings inside myself that I had never, ever allowed myself to feel that actually had created this disease and this death sentence for myself. So in that moment, I had a very strong feeling if I was to live, I had to leave hospital, leave the doctors behind. And I believe in that moment, that was really the true part of my healing, was me taking my own power back. And I had let go of that as a child through all the abuse. And it was my first step back towards myself, of self-healing. That was the beginning of my self-healing. But of course, I didn't understand any of that at the time. I had no understanding of where I was or what I was doing. And it was about 6 months later that I had this spiritual awakening. In 2 to 3 seconds, I had this incredible light coming through me and this understanding of this healing process as though I had learned it all my life. It was something I'd studied all my life, but of course it was just there and in a very, very powerful, a pure loving force coming through me that I could not deny.
That's amazing. And evidently you developed and kept on with your self-healing and also introduced nutritional sort of values and meditation.
Absolutely. But the big point was when that healing energy came through me and I had the love that was present in that energy in that moment was so amazing because I hadn't really ever been loved in my life. I was really empty of ever receiving love. So when that love came through me, it was unbelievable for me. And of course, here I was with this incredible healing process, and my son was at home with some very major health problems, and I put my hands on him, and as I put my hands on him and allowed this energy to move through, and I worked with him, within hours he transformed, and I started my healing process, receiving the healing at the same time he did. So I worked with him every day for 2 years, and at the end of that, my connection to spirit was very, very profound, and my alignments to a channel that was working through me and my guidance was really anchored in those 2 years. So it was very, a very profound process. But I I didn't understand at the time that it was the Pleiadians, and I don't think I could have dealt with it being the Pleiadians at that point or knowing it was them. I thought it was spirit or God that was working with me. It was 6 years later that I had, because I didn't believe in aliens or spaceships either, so that was pretty amazing. And so 6 years later, they appeared in front of me. They came in their ship and appeared in front of me and reminded me of my mission here on this earth plane to act as an ambassador for them, between acting as a bridge between the human beings and the Pleiadians in this lifetime.
And that was wonderful to hear that, I'm sure. But how did it strike you? Because that's quite a responsibility, isn't it?
Actually, it was really devastating for me. The interaction with them initially was, I was walking out in nature, turned a corner, and here's this huge ship right there. And the Pleiadians came out, about 10 of them, stating they were my family. And what they did was they used thought transference and energy. And as they came towards me with that, I suddenly remembered my agreement, my pre-agreement to work with them and act as this ambassador. And you know what? I had a lot of resistance. I was sent into a real tailspin. Because the energy, number one, was so extreme coming through me. I had my second awakening at that time, and I had to somehow come to terms with working with the Pleiadians and finding, working out how they were in alignment with God and spirit and my connection to them and to God. And it was a very, very difficult process for me at that time.
What were your beliefs before all this happened? I mean, did you just have the standard recognition of a God without really knowing a lot more?
I didn't even have that, because I had such a hatred for myself, I think, from my past childhood experiences. I kind of really didn't believe I could ever be loved or God could ever love me. So I didn't have any real connection to God. I was lost, very, very lost. And I understand now that it was always needed, it was always going to happen that way, that I had these experiences as a child and was broken down and gradually made my way back to this awakening and to my mission that I am currently living in this lifetime.
It doesn't seem too unusual when you hear people's stories of how they were awakened, that it's often preceded by trauma of some kind. It almost seems to be like a wake-up call.
It's true, you know, Mike. I think that it's the wounds of the healer. It's like we start off being terribly wounded, but as we move forward, it's as though those wounds really help us to unfold. They help us to have an empathy and an understanding as we work with other people. It builds us, it's almost like it gives us a very strong central determination of some sort through the pain that we have gone through. And I agree with you, there are many of us that have had very traumatic childhoods that are on this path right now, teaching.
Yes. I may say in passing that I lost my first wife after 2 years marriage, and that really devastated me. But out of that, because she had suffered a nervous breakdown before she died, I took an interest in healing. I suddenly felt a great compassion for people that were ill. And it more or less stayed with me over a long period. I joined a group, became a spiritual healer, and that developed into other things. So I can relate to that from my own point of view.
You know, I would never like to relive what I've been through, but I can't say I regret it, because it has brought me to everything that I am in this moment. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And the Pleiadians have played and still play such an incredible role in my life. It brings me incredible humbleness and gratitude, being part of their mission here on this earth plane and working with so many amazing people. It's such a, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to witness the birthing that's going on right now.
Yes. Just a question on the side here, really. When you met the Pleiadians, I understand they're very human-like in their appearance. Would you agree with that?
Well, they are on one level, but they're very tall and thin. So they're tall, generally a lot taller than the average human being. You know, 6'6", 6'7", up to about 7 or 8 feet. But their actual outer appearance of the form of the body is very human-like. It's true.
Mm. Well, it's nice to have that confirmed. Now, you had initiations from the Pleiadians, which I think set you on your 22-year journey. And part of that was to learn of your mission and your connection to your higher self. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
You know, it's been yes, I'm absolutely happy to share that. It's been quite a journey. The Pleiadians have this incredible ability to create settings, energetic wombs for us to birth into so that we can realign to our natural spiritual natures. And that is what they set out to do with me in my awakening, so that I could align with them more and more and then bring these energies to other human beings. And so, you know, it's like the initiations in the book, some of them are based on some of my initiations that I went through with the Pleiadians, and they've given 12 initiations for everybody to work with. And what it does is it realigns you back to remembering your natural spiritual nature. And I think the biggest thing the Pleiadians taught me, and this to me is, it was really invaluable for me, was that in order for us to realign to our spiritual natures, to remember, we have to first embrace our humanness. And the Pleiadians say that, you know, we are perfectly imperfect as human beings, and that we are always meant to come here to make mistakes in order to learn, and that we need to hold ourselves with this love and compassion and patience as we learn and move forward on our journeys. And what they're saying is, as human beings, we're really we're full of self-condemnation for the journeys that we have taken so far. And the fact is, we should just really be holding ourselves and acknowledging the courage we have to be here on the earth plane having our human experience. So they have really taught me a lot about self-love and understanding that I really am perfectly imperfect, and that led me into being able to receive and anchor my natural spiritual nature. So I've been on an incredible awakening process with them over the last years.
I think it's wonderful that your mission is to share that with people. Now, I believe they also said that we need to move through the illusion of fear, and I think that's very important.
It's absolutely essential that fear is one of the biggest illusions here that we have as human beings. And, you know, especially with the earth changes coming in, the Pleiadians are saying, they ask us, don't be afraid. But actually, with all the earthquakes we've been having and our volcanic activity, every time there's an earthquake anywhere on the earth plane right now, it's opening up, the dimensional shift has already begun, and the earth births dimensionally every time there's an earthquake, and we are birthing with the earth. So the earth changes have begun, and they're saying, you know, the fear is such an illusion, and that we, you know, we need to align through our sacred hearts, and it's through our heart that we can let the fear go. They actually call for us to change our knee-jerk reaction to fear, because when we're afraid, we contract. Our heart contracts. And what they want us to do is, when we get afraid, to change that knee-jerk reaction and allow our hearts to open up and be, for it to be a sign to move forward in life rather than to stop us, that we move forward. We use it as a sign, as a green light to move forward, to feel the fear, but to do it anyway. Because the fear, guess what, is going to be there no matter what. That's what happens as a human being. We do feel this fear, but it's not based on any real reality.
I think that's very interesting that they refer to it as causing the heart to contract, because I guess we've all felt fear at different times, and that is actually something physically that you can feel, isn't it? It hurts sometimes.
Absolutely. And what they say is just take a breath, hold your heart, and bring your consciousness there. They say whatever we do, we mustn't push the fear away. Just accept that the fear is going to be there no matter what, so we may as well step forward and do what we have to do anyway. Because fear, and then after a while when you work that way in your life, the fear becomes neutralized. Because you get to understand the fear doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything to us. And so we may as well just go ahead and do everything we want to do.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it puts it into perspective.
Yeah. It might be a good point to mention that you actually have a free Pleiadian transmission audio download, which is about the Earth Change Alignments.
It's really important, Mike, that the Pleiadians... I channeled this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, and the Pleiadians are saying that every time there's some sort of earthquake, the dimensional shifts are happening through our own physical bodies, affecting our mental, our physical, and spiritual energies. And this channel download helps us align to the earth changes. So as the earth births, we also then can align to that change and navigate ourselves much more smoothly with these dimensional shifts that are coming now and are going to continue to come because we're all going through a birth. So, yes, it is a free download. The Pleiadians didn't want anyone to pay for it. They say they want it out there. They want as many people working with this channeled energy as possible so that they can align and birth with the earth and align with the earth changes through the energetic field and through the mental energy and the physical body. So it's very powerful and, as I said, available for everybody.
That's great, yes. Now, what did the Pleiadians mean by talking of holding energetic platforms for us?
Well, they do not interfere with our energetic birth, because they honor us as free will beings. But what they do is they set like a womb-like energy, and they anchor energies in a womb-like setting where we can birth ourselves, because it's really about us birthing back into our own spiritual natures. They don't have to do that. They just activate a certain energy that allows us, it almost lifts the veils with the self-healing prophecy energy. It lifts the veils in order for us to birth ourselves. And that's what the 12 chapters of the book are about, where a womb energy is set for the person to allow themselves to move into it and go through their own personal birth. It's very exciting, Mike. I just love it. And they work. This is about direct experience of your own birth. So it's very, 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 very beautiful, the platforms that they hold. And that's what the platforms are. They hold frequencies within these energetic platforms for us to align to and birth ourselves into our sacred natures.
I believe they describe these platforms as like energetic holograms, but they would not be activated unless we gave our permission.
Oh, absolutely. The Pleiadians are very... very much, one of their biggest points are that as human beings, we have to consciously start stepping forward and saying yes to the process. So the Pleiadians won't even come near any one of us without our permission. And then they will work with us, and they are committed to working with anybody who calls them forward. So they are also committed to for deepening personal relationships with individuals. Many of the students I work with around the world have personal relationships with the Pleiadians that are building on those relationships, especially now with the earth changes. The Pleiadians are doing a very big job holding the energetic platforms for the birthing of the earth, but also for us as human beings if we wish.
Now, you mentioned the Pleiadians in connection with your students. Do you actually mean that they appear to them, or is that simply working with them?
Many of the students have a direct experience of the Pleiadians. They all have experiences energetically, and many of the students see the Pleiadians. They tend to appear to those who are ready. They do not want to appear to the masses because they do not want to create any more fear on this planet than is already here, because there's enough, you know, enough fear going around right now. What they are trying to do is they're bringing in the energy of the self-healing prophecy onto this planet right now to assist humans to move through this illusion of fear. And, you know, as the Earth is changing dimensionally, we're going to go from a third-dimensional planet into a fourth-dimensional planet when these Earth changes are complete, which means fear does not exist in that fourth dimension. It's where the veils lift and the illusion is gone, and fear just does not exist in that fourth-dimensional setting.
I believe you said in the book, or the Pleiadians did, that when you move to the 4D, you get a connection to the heart. Can you explain that?
Yes, well, it's through the sacred heart. It's through our hearts that we truly can align to and go back to a remembrance of our natural spiritual natures. We can reclaim ourselves. So this sacred heart, as we come into our hearts, it actually can birth back our natural spiritual natures through our heart, and it's through that then we get our intuition, and we begin to remember and bring back and take back the gifts, the natural gifts, that we all have. We've forgotten about them because we needed the human experience. But what the Pleiadians are saying now, in this new dawning, they call it a new dawning, and I love the energy of that. It's just beautiful. And in this new dawning, we're meant to embrace our humanness and at the same time birth our natural spiritual natures. And what they're saying is that one of the biggest illusions on this earth plane is the lie that we're supposed to become perfect in order to be self-realized, to awaken. But that's not the truth. In this new dawning, we're meant to stay perfectly human and to birth into our natural spiritual natures, being perfectly imperfect. And I think that is beautiful, Mike, don't you?
Oh, I love that expression, yes. Now, I believe you mentioned in that connection that that means letting go of old structures. What would that be? Beliefs that no longer apply, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's moving out of the illusion of the fear, so fear doesn't exist, moving back into the full experience that we are not alone here, but we are connected and we have a conscious working connection with spirit and the angels and the light beings, so they are part of our daily existence and we work with them because we're not supposed to do it alone. The Pleiadians will be our neighbors and good neighbors for us, and that we come back into a place where we can start assuming and taking our power back for self-healing, so that we begin to remember and have direct experiences of our unlimited ability to become one, to take our place and become a part of the universal consciousness or the oneness or the God essence or whatever you want to call it. Everyone has so many different names for it. But the fact is that we are, each one of us, uniquely beautiful, and we're needed in the universe. So you start to have a direct experience of your own uniqueness and celebrate that. That's part of the this new dawning that is coming. It's exciting, very exciting.
Absolutely, yes. Now, what do they mean by saying that we have a grace period to move in?
All right, the self-healing prophecy energy started in for 2009. That's when it first anchored on the planet. Now, this helps the veils to lift and helps all of us who are willing to receive the self-healing prophecy to have an accelerated awakening. Now, this grace period is going to go right through to the end of 2012. That's when that will no longer be in place, but hopefully we will then all have aligned to a new way of aligning to ourselves, to our true natures. And so that the self-healing prophecy energy will have been utilized to its fullest, and it will no longer exist here.
Right. Do you think that everyone can possibly make it, or is it only natural that some people aren't ready for it?
It's natural that some are not ready. And the Pleiadians put it very simply. I just love their simplicity, you know. They really are amazing. They say very simply, we're all going to take a next step. Now, some of us will leave the earth plane and take the next step because there is no such thing as death. And the rest of us will stay on the earth plane and take our next step. And that's just how simply they put it, you know.
So regardless of what happens, it's a time of change. And one way or the other, there's going to be some sort of movement forward.
For everybody. Regardless of where everyone is, everyone will be stepping forward and going through change and transformation and taking that next step. And I just really love the way the Pleiadians are really opening up an understanding for people of what these earth changes are about, what does it really mean, where are we all going? I mean, they're starting to really lay it out in a very beautiful way for us. So, because their biggest thing is, do not be afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of. Yes, there is change coming, and you are going to be held in whichever way you need to be held as you move through these steps. And it is that simple, and I feel like there's a lot of people afraid of what's coming, and I think there's a lot of fear being placed out there or created, and the Pleiadians are just saying, do not be afraid. And I love that.
Yes, absolutely, because what we're looking forward here is something that's been divinely decreed, and nothing is going to alter that end of this particular period.
Exactly. To me, it's an exciting time. Yes, you know, we all need to change. There's change coming, but it's a change that we've all been waiting for. And as the Pleiadians say so often, every human being on this planet has agreed to be here at this time to have their experience.
Yes.
It was a gift to be here at this time for all of us. And they're asking everyone just to start letting go, to start taking a breath. Part of the self-healing prophecy energy is a letting go energy. It's like a wave that's going across the earth, assisting us as human beings to let go. Because you know what? We love to hang on.
The ego mind loves
to hang on.
Yes, they don't take to major changes very readily, I think. Now, they talk about our divine right to take back our power in this lifetime and be a co-creator in the world. Now, what do they mean by being a co-creator?
They mean that each one of us has the ability to create what we need. We have, each one of us has our own unlimited abundance to tap into. And it's our choice when we choose to activate that abundance. You cannot take too much because each person has their own, uniquely theirs. So as part of our natural gifts within our own divine natures is the ability to be able to create what we need to create for ourselves, what we desire from our heart. But it's got to go through the sacred heart. You see, you can't try creating through the ego mind. You have to tap into your own heart, which taps into that divine sacred nature of yourself and begin opening and accessing your own natural abundance to yourself. And that's the step that many human beings don't understand. They try and create from the ego mind and nothing can happen because it's not a sacred path. The ego mind is very limited, purely third dimensional.
So a lot of people would probably think that abundance means wealth in a material way, but that's not exactly right, is it?
Well, it's part of our, we're allowed to have abundance. It's so interesting. some people think to be spiritual or connected to God, you almost have to be, you know, you can't have money. And that's not the truth. We actually can have that abundance, financial abundance, but it's joy. It's being able to receive the abundance of love, the opening up into a state of receivership to receive the help that is here. That's the co-creative energy that we talk about. It's co-creating with the God essence. It's opening up to your own God essence and opening up to the union of oneness within the collective consciousness. That's co-creating. That you're not doing it alone. That you open up to receive the help and open up to the love that is really an abundant energy that is in the universe, within the universe. So it's, yes, it's many levels. It's physical healing. It's a sense of well-being and a sense of joy that can be achieved and received. And that's where the fourth dimensional birthing comes in, where we can start to really align with that and let go of all the illusion of the struggle and the tiredness that people are feeling from lifetimes of trying so hard with the mind, the ego mind. When you're through that heart, everything's effortless. It begins to flow. So it's linking into your own flow.
Right. Now, some people have heartache for different reasons. How do they heal the wounds that they carry within their hearts?
You know, we have all had pain in our lives, and you can't measure. One pain is not more than another. We've all had experiences as humans, and that pain locks into the heart when we can't feel it. When it's just too much to bear, we hold our breath, and it locks into the heart. So the step is to be willing to allow yourself to feel what you weren't able to feel, because emotion actually means you're alive. It doesn't mean you wish for constant pain, but it means you have to be willing at some point to go back into your heart and feel what you weren't willing to feel or able to feel in the moment of some really shocking event. Ultimately, when we come back to our hearts, we need to feel what we weren't able to feel in the moment. And it's our pathway actually into freedom, to liberation. And the fact is, while you hold on to the pain and push it down and push it away from yourself, you can't receive the joy because you're closing your heart off so you don't feel. So that's really the secret for the human being, is initially to be brave enough to come back and feel your heart and feel the pain that was there and set yourself free. And as you do that, you then set yourself open to be able to receive the love and the joy also that is here for all of us. We all have the right to be loved and to feel the love. And it's waiting for each one of us. It's just that many people have been very hurt. And I was one of those people. So I understand all about pain. I think we all do, actually.
I'm sure so at some stage, yes. Now, you said you can work with many different people at the same time. What sort of work do you do with them? Is it purely to understand the initiation process, or presumably you can add to it? Like, I'm asking you questions, and you've obviously got answers. But in what way do you help?
I can help on many levels. I have... You know, I've had a very strong awakening. So I have an ability, a gift, where I can link into 1,000 people at a time, energetically, and work with them individually, where they feel like they're being supported by me. I sometimes have stadiums, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 people at a time working with them. And I put my energy out and I can align to each person individually and know where everybody is and assist them with their breathing and with them being able to touch and reach themselves and access their own sacred heart. Now, I don't come in and work for them. I hold an energetic platform around them that allows them to enter themselves and meet themselves in a new way and feel the love. That's one of my gifts. I have many of them that have unfolded with my natural abilities. My spiritual self has an unlimited ability to be able to channel for individuals, and so I work on many, many levels with different people. I can channel and connect in and feel and help people move blocks. So I have many gifts that have developed as I've unfolded and unraveled my own sacred nature, and it's fairly unlimited in what I can do now. I can reach many people at once. Many people call on my energies and fill me with them at any time. They have experiences of me all over the world as I work. My students know can call on me and feel me with them at any time. But it's my unlimited energy, so it doesn't interfere with my personal space. It's my unlimited divine aspect that meets those people and helps them work through whatever they were going through at the time. So that's how I work.
It's quite incredible. Now, you mentioned that you are assisted by Jesus. When did you have your first contact with that energy?
I was, you know what, I was greatly privileged. I was there actually in Israel. I used to work a lot there, and I was told to go to Capernaum, which was this town of Jesus. It's where he set up his ministry. And I was told, go down to the sea, by the sea. It was at the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum's on the Sea of Galilee. And so I'm standing at the edge of the sea, and all of a sudden, out in the distance, I see this light coming towards me. And as it gets closer, it's a figure of a man walking across the water towards me. And it was Jesus. And there was this incredible light coming into me as he got closer and closer. It was so incredible. And as he put his hands on me, I was just filled with this, I mean, I just fell to the ground in this, just my heart was almost breaking open. It was like this incredible awakening. And he said to me, actually, I find there was this incredible light, but his voice was, when are you going to take yourself off the cross? You came here to resurrect yourself.
Well.
And that was my first introduction to him. And he said, you have put yourself on a cross in this lifetime. You have come here, and you're the only one who can take yourself off the cross. And he said, it's time for you to begin to resurrect yourself. And it was an amazing event, because I had put myself on the cross for all the things that I went through as a child, which I blamed myself for. And I had condemned myself and put myself there. And he started to help me unravel that and helped me to see how that I just needed to take myself off the cross and hold myself in the state of resurrection and forgiveness. And he taught me about love. He talked, makes me cry thinking about it, about my ministry. He kept referring to the work I was doing and the people I'm working with as my ministry, which I had a great problem with at that time. But he's been a gift in my life, teaching me about love and how to bring the love to my students and to the world, to myself. So beautiful, Mike. And such a great unexpected gift for me, because, you know, I didn't believe I would ever have connections with Jesus. I certainly wasn't connected to the church. And he said, well, he isn't either. The church has used him over the years, but he is here for all mankind, for all of us, and to remind us all to take ourselves off the cross. You know, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful what the message he brings to all of us.
Well, I'm pleased indeed to hear that he doesn't see himself as purely a symbol of Christianity where the church is concerned, that he's here for everyone. It's wonderful to hear. Now, was that the period of time when you had what you refer to as an amazing meditation experience?
Oh, well, you know, I've had many of those. You know, he's been one of my greatest gifts and absolutely has contributed to a large extent of my awakening. I think he's been one of my greatest teachers about love and about my own self-love and the healing in me being able to turn back towards myself with this love. Mary also has been incredible. I mean, Mother Mary, she came to me, and she's, you know, with me on a daily basis these days. And, you know, she came to me and she just told me that she was here not for my work in the world. She was here for my personal healing. And that she, and then that was a very hard thing for me to deal with in the beginning. But I understood after a while just how much I needed her and what an incredible gift she has been. I mean, I've been very blessed, Mike. I mean, I've been given so very much in my awakening. I don't always understand why I've been given so much, but I am grateful for all of it.
Well, you certainly have had so far, and I imagine it will continue, a very amazing life. I wouldn't think too many people have had a similar experience, or at least not so frequently. Now, what was your vision quest experience?
Well, you know, the Pleiadians are the ones that actually have anchored the shamanic, you know, have transmitted to the native people on the in the world. So when they came into my life, they started to initiate me into the shamanic worlds. And so that was the beginning. I went on this vision quest in Australia, and that was a really a big event for me, mainly because I had committed to spirit no matter what they, whatever they told me to do, I would do it. I was like I was going from death into life. So I committed to following my guidance from them no matter what. So here I went on this vision quest, my first one. And as the sun rose in the morning, it was like this incredible giant spider web just kind of appeared. It was brilliant with a pulsating center and very dramatic. And it had to be dramatic because I wouldn't have listened otherwise. And the message was, you know, you have to leave Australia, you have to leave your children and go to America. And the message was you have to tell them within 24 hours.
Gracious.
And it was a very, very, very difficult thing. Because my life was beautiful, you know. I had my three children living with me. I was healing. I was using the healing work they had given me to work with people. My life was busy, and I was happy for the first time in my life. I mean, really joyful, and my life felt full. It was simple, but it was full. And I was told to leave everything and to come to America where I didn't know anybody at all. I had no idea what I was to do, except I knew I had to do it. So it was a very challenging. So that was kind of the beginning of my vision, my spiritual, I mean, my vision quest work, and of course it expanded as I went along. But that was my kind of introduction to it, which was pretty,
right.
Pretty intense. And I knew my children would never look at me the same way, you know.
You've certainly travelled the world a bit. Tell us a little bit about when you met Sai Baba, and I'm intrigued by your comment that he taught you the power of laughter.
Well, he has, you know. Sai Baba was, I didn't know anything about him. A friend of mine had actually lent me a book to read about him, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then that afternoon he actually appeared in my bedroom and said, you need to come to India. And I said, well, that's impossible. And he said, the way will be made clear. And he just disappeared like Sai Baba can. And I went to India for a month. As it turned out, I had no money and, you know, I had young children. And I thought, well, you know, if any money was to come, well, it certainly wouldn't be for me to go to India. And my one of my best girlfriend's dad had kind of said to me, he always kind of treated me like a daughter, and he rang me 2 days later and he said, I came into some extra money, so I want to give you $4,000, but only for you to spend on yourself. I don't want it going anywhere else. So of course that led me to India and to the ashram and time there, which was hellish actually. It was pretty bad. I hated it, and, you know, but, you know, that was in the beginning, and then I've been back four or five times later, and Sai Baba's in my life strongly and is many times in our workshops and with the work, and he's really, you know, when I ever take anything too seriously, he appears in front of me just laughing. He's really a great teacher and friend, and it's nice to know he's still on the earth plane. And I think he touches many, many people with his magic. Very, very beautiful energy. Do you know Sai Baba?
Well, I know quite a bit about him, yes. I've never been to India or, in that case, met him. But I very much admire what he's done, particularly when he had the amazing hospital bill.
Yeah. Yes, he's a great light in the world, and there's so much. He has a simple message of love, and, you know, and he's just he plays a big part in my life still, and just supports me in the world, and I really am grateful for his presence.
Yes. Now, keeping on this particular track about your personal experiences, what was the mounting experience that you had?
The mountain?
The dark and the cold. Yeah.
Oh, you mean with Mother Mary?
Yes.
Well, I was told I had to go to Medjugorje and in Bosnia. So I didn't have any idea where it was, but of course I got there, and it was when it was really war-torn. It was really terrible. It was after the war, but the people were really like shell-shocked, and the whole place was really really depleted, terribly depleted. And when I got there, it was freezing cold, and none of the hotels had heating or a lot of electricity because they just had nothing left in the country after the war. And there was this mountain, of course, where all the pilgrims would walk up the mountain, and at the top, Mary had appeared to many people. There had been a lot of healings. It was one of her places she appeared many times to people. And it was a freezing, freezing cold day. I mean, I cannot tell you how freezing cold it was. The wind was just like howling. It's so bad that not one pilgrim was on the mountain that day going up, because you could have been blown off the mountain. It was so strong. The sky was so black. It was as though it was night. I've never seen such a black sky. And here I am, I get my directive. You need to go up the mountain today, this morning.
Yeah.
So I put on all my clothes, and of course I am not that impressed. I'm kind of in a pretty bad mood, and I start walking up the mountain. It is freezing, freezing cold, and the wind is howling. I felt like I was going to get blown off that mountain at any time. And I get right up to the top, and at the top of the mountain is this huge metal cross. I crawled into the base of the cross just so I wouldn't get blown out and off the mountain. It was so extreme and so black. And I'm sitting in the very base of this huge cross, really in a very, very bad mood. And there's just this black sky, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And all of a sudden, there was this incredible opening in the sky, this brilliant light shining down into me. And all of a sudden, I was just so warm, and Mary appeared in the sky above me. And this is where she brought her message to me to get my attention, I believe. Because at that time, I felt like I was in the world to do work for people, but that's the only reason I had survived. I didn't believe that I was there for myself. It was like, I'm doing my mission, that's the only reason why I was kind of healed. That's what I believed at that time. And Mary's words to me, as this light poured into me, was, I am not here to support you in your work, but I am here to support you in your healing. And I am just here for you on a personal level. And I couldn't be distracted, because here I was, finally warm and feeling her love, The essence of her loving touch is amazing. And she committed herself to me that day. And it was an amazing experience.
Yes. There are, of course, quite a few books about similar experiences with Mary, and they are very astounding. Now, time is flying on here, Christine. I think we should finish the program, in a manner of speaking, giving you a little time to talk about working with the inner child. And I would say we have about 4 to 5 minutes on that, and then I'll have to announce next week's guest. So off you go.
Okay, so the inner child is really a very important piece for all of us in our awakening state. Part of our role in waking up in our self-realization process is we do have to connect to that child inside, and we do have to somehow go back and feel what the child inside is feeling. The fact is, if we want to move out of separation and align with our spiritual natures, we also have to align to the child inside. And I know for myself, I've had to do a lot of work on that, and I have. I have transformed and dealt with my kids inside, my inner kids, that were so hurt during my process as a child. Now, we all, not all of us have had traumatic childhoods, but at some point during our childhood, we are sometimes misunderstood, we don't receive what we need, we somehow take on maybe what when our parents are angry or they, things go wrong. The child has magic thinking. They believe that they are responsible for everything that happens. And the reason we as children believe that is that we are really very vulnerable and helpless as children, but the child can't stand that. So in order to feel not vulnerable and helpless, the child takes on the responsibility for things that happen in their lives. And they take on responsibility for even what our parents are feeling or what's happening in their life and what they're going through. So as children, we take on a lot. And that pain from our childhood is often still inside us. Unresolved things from childhood that affect our relationships now, our ability to receive love, our ability to align and reconnect to ourselves. So the inner child work is very important. It's important for us to start just reaching inside and feeling the child that's there and holding that child.
Right. I'll stop you there simply to allow you to tell our listeners your website address.
So it's frequenciesofbrilliance.com. And that's where the free download is, and a lot of the programs that are on our website. So I'm sure it's frequenciesofbrilliance.com.
Right. Do you invite people to email you, or will they get that information off the site anyway?
They will get all that information on the site. There's a lot of free stuff for people to download. There's also a lot of all the programs there. Anything they're interested in, there's some free YouTube clips that they can watch me. And I have a broadcast this Sunday, a worldwide web broadcast, 10 o'clock right. Las Vegas time, if anyone wants to watch that.
Fine. I'm definitely going to stop you there. I've got about half a minute to announce next week's guest. But thank you very much, Christine. That was an exceptionally interesting interview, and it was wonderful to read your book. There's obviously a lot more in it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Right, friends, next week I have Gail Swanson, who has just brought out a book called The Heart of Love. It's Mary Magdalene who speaks with her, which happened after a life-changing vision, and it's very interesting information that she's been given. So I hope you'll be with me next week, and thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you very much.